So where are you headed?
Aspen.
California. Beautiful.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes and normalizers all around this great planet of ours. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and welcome to the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, interviews, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community that we call Normal Show Live. We are brought to you by the Normal Foundation, coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where we just had almost an inch of rain yesterday. It was a deluge. There was a guy building an ark next door, so it was very, very, very scary out here. And joining us in the studio, of course, is the Maestro Ganja John.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing, Tokers? I'm a little puffy today. Didn't get a lot of dialysis last night, but how do you get rid of the puff? You puff.
You're now Puff Daddy.
I'm Puff Daddy. Puff and Tough.
Puff and Tough. That's HR Puff and Tough. And joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half-sister and good daughter, Cannabis Carrie.
I thought, Ganja John, it was just because of all the rain. You just puffed up like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Living in a pineapple under the sea. So Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, since it's a Terry Joyce Day, I thought it would be a good time to go back to Los Angeles and get an update on how those dispensaries are doing out there. You know, they're up against the clock, Russ. That ordinance is coming down next week, so we're going to see where they're at. Also, a court ruling or a non-court ruling in Colorado that we're going to take a look at, and a case of maybe you should be careful what you put on before you leave the house. It might get you in trouble.
Oh, boy. We'll look forward to those stories right after our first break. And speaking of our breaks, I want to encourage everyone to check out our advertisers at our blog, stash.normal.org. And if you're interested in advertising on Normal Show Live or our blogs, you can just send me an email, stash@normal.org, and we'll help you out. We've got a advertisement plan for every budget, from businesses big to, you know, small-time self-proprietors. We'll be glad to help you out and get the word out, especially if you're a cannabis-related business or support the mission of Normal. And speaking of our advertisers, I want to encourage everyone to check out our ad, our top banner ad for homegrown.com, HOMGRON.com. They make some excellent art t-shirts. Me and John have seen a few of them come through here. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and it's subtle, which is
yeah,
nice.
It's the kind of t-shirt, you know, we're talking about this t-shirt trouble coming up here. We'll come back to this because they're nice and subtle. Someone wouldn't really necessarily know it was cannabis related unless they were cool. So homegrown.com, check that out. All right, coming up later on today's Normal Show Live, it is Groovin' Thursday for our Daily Toker Tunes. John Doe from John Doe Radio in Denver, Colorado will be bringing us another new tune from the Cottonmouth Kings. We're looking forward to that. At 30 past, it's time for our Southern California scene. We always visit on the first and third Thursdays with Terry Joyce from NBC's Last Comic Standing, among other ventures she's done, including American Hemptress. Today she's brought Thomas Kikuchi. He's with the Landa Prison Outreach Project. This is a group of people that write to prisoners of the drug war. It'd be very interesting talking to him. And at 45 past, Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director, takes us behind the headlines at a look at the medical marijuana conference taking place this Saturday in the state of Maine. Paul Armentano will be there presenting, and we'll get a little preview of what he's going to tell the folks up there in the Granite State. All that and more is coming up on today's Normal Show Live. Stick around, and we've got the FTP fixed, so the past three, four episodes
will be online soon. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, I'm Radical Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal and host of Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and I encourage you to visit MarijuanaDoctors.com to find a physician to help you obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in your state. In most medical marijuana states, patients qualify with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis, and other conditions which vary by state. Learn which conditions are covered in your state at MarijuanaDoctors.com. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, MarijuanaDoctors.com will help you find a physician online or by phone to obtain a permit for medical marijuana. MarijuanaDoctors.com is fully transparent and HIPAA compliant. Call 866-996-9333 today or visit MarijuanaDoctors.com. That's 866-996-9333 by phone or online at MarijuanaDoctors.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
As the city of Los Angeles gears up for the new medical marijuana dispensary ordinance to go into effect, many collective owners are desperate to find new locations. The ordinance will go into effect next week on June 7th. The long-time-coming, much-debated ordinance will severely limit the number and locations where dispensaries and collectives can be located. They will be in violation if they are within 1,000 feet of a school, library, park, or residence. Any non-complying, qualified collectives will have to shut their doors or face massive, debilitating daily fines. Commercial real estate expert Linda Kay said quite simply it is causing the largest last-minute grab for real estate that she has ever seen in all her years monitoring the LA market. The dispensaries are facing the dilemma, finding a qualifying location or shut down. Kay says her offices are besieged by collective owners looking for help. A recent effort seeking a temporary injunction from the ordinance on behalf of several collectives failed this last week, setting off fear in some and relief in others. Those dispensaries that are lucky enough to be in the right locations and do not fear closure are expecting a windfall and a huge increase in sales as thousands of Los Angeles must now find their medical cannabis at new locations. The demand at existing locations is already high, and the market compression will exponentially increase sales at those that will be allowed to remain open. Of the collectives that have been contacting Kay's commercial real estate office, most report that they have been bombarded with letters from attorneys seeking large sums for their legal services. Out of need, her office has created a service focused on real estate locations that meet ordinance requirements. We will be watching closely as the clock ticks down to the deadline, as will hundreds of dispensaries, thousands of patients and workers, and hundreds of lawyers.
Boy, this ordinance is going to have all sorts of backlash that I don't think the Los Angeles Council has thought much about. First of all, when they set this up that you can only operate your legal business 1,000 feet from a school, a library, a park, or a residence. Let me give you an idea, folks. Go and download Google Earth, right? It's free. You can download it for Mac. You can download it for Windows. I think they've got a Linux version. Do they got a Linux version?
I think they do.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. But you can download Google Earth, right? And when you bring it up, bring up your city, and it's got a feature, these layers, where you can turn on different markers on the map. You can turn on markers to show you where the schools are, where the libraries are, and of course, you can tell where the residences are just by, you know, where houses are and such in a satellite photo, and where the parks are. And then Google Earth has another tool that allows you to use a ruler and draw a line across the map, right? And it'll measure how long that line is. So you can take that and you can find out how far 1,000 feet is on this map. I defy you to find very many places in any city, any modern city in America, that is not within 1,000 feet of a school, library, park, or residence. It's just about impossible. And this type of restriction on a medical marijuana business, you know, we don't see these types of restrictions on other businesses, on pharmacies opening up, let's say, within 1,000 feet of a school, library, park, or residence, or liquor stores, or anything like that.
Porn shops, even.
Yeah, porn shops, even. Yeah, good point. Yeah,
there's a good example of that in Portland. Fat Cobra Video, right across the street from a local junior high. So
yeah.
it's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. And the other part about this market constriction that Kerry talked about how the existing patrons of the over 400 or 500 medical marijuana dispensaries will now be funneled into 70 or less, you know, because, you know, they can't drive all the way across the Los Angeles basin. They got to go to the one closest to them. So that is certainly going to drive demand to these 70 remaining dispensaries. Do you think the prices are going to drop any? Hell no. Now they've got more people captive to their particular dispensary and less competition to worry about having any sort of need to drop their prices. And, of course, if it becomes too much of a hassle to brave the L.A. traffic to go all the way across town to get the medicine that's overpriced, more people will start to find it out on the black market. More people will start to get it from the unregulated vendors. Los Angeles is making a big mistake here by over-regulating a very successful industry, especially in a time of recession when they need all the tax revenue and jobs they can get.
A court ruling last year that requires a medical marijuana primary caregiver in the state of Colorado to do more than simply supply cannabis will not be heard by the Colorado Supreme Court. Last summer, the State Board of Health in Colorado defined a list of duties that an individual could perform in order to qualify them as a caregiver, including such things as grocery shopping and cooking, but also including just providing medicine, thus making it allowable to sell a patient marijuana. In the case of a Colorado woman, Stacy Clendenin, she was charged with cultivation of marijuana and argued that the marijuana she grew was distributed to authorized medical marijuana patients through dispensaries, thus making her a caregiver for those patients as defined under Colorado statute. Well, she lost her case, and then she lost it again in the Court of Appeals last November when the court ruled that a caregiver must do more for a patient than just provide medicine. Now, this action forced the Colorado Board of Health to remove that part of the definition of caregiver, which then led to a Denver District Court judge rebuking the State Board of Health for changing the rules about medical marijuana without providing adequate notice to patients. When the board then repealed the definition of a medical marijuana caregiver, it was reverted back to those that provide marijuana and a significant responsibility for managing the well-being of a patient. Sort of gray area there. On Tuesday, the High Court declined to hear the case of the People versus Clendenin, and the board has not tried to change the definition again, making the significance of the Supreme Court's refusal to hear the case unclear.
This is such an odd situation. They're saying here that in order to be a primary caregiver, you have to more than simply supply cannabis. So you have to be someone who has significant responsibility, and I imagine they're talking about, you know, helping them go shopping or, you know, helping them in and out of buildings or caring for their home or helping them with other medical needs as significant responsibility. Okay, I get that. I see where you're going there. You're saying a caregiver should actually be given care more than just cannabis. But then that person is the one that's allowed to sell marijuana? Wait a minute, you know, if it's a significant relationship, if I'm close to this person, if you're saying that I'm so close that I'm taking care of their intimate medical needs, now I'm selling them marijuana, that just seems backwards to me. You'd think the person who was the close person, the intimate friend or relative, would be trying to procure, give the marijuana, or maybe even just recover slight expenses, not trying to make a profit off it or anything like that. Now let's look at from the other side. Let's look at it from the side of being the caregiver who's not a significant responsibility, but all you do is supply cannabis to a patient. This puts you more in line with being, say, a pharmacist or a doctor or a naturopath or somebody who is assisting someone with a medicine, right? Would we expect the pharmacist to be taking care of someone's intimate medical needs at home, you know, helping them bathe, helping them go shopping? No, the pharmacist can dispense OxyContin to the patient, get the money from the patient, deal done, right? No big hoops to jump through as far as, do I have significant responsibility? Am I really caring for that person? And these are the kind of crazy contortions we have to get through when we define marijuana as strictly medical. Yes, of course it's medicine. It has wonderful medical properties for the people. But so long as we continue to define the healthy people using it as criminals, we have to go through all these crazy feats of logic to try to define who exactly is the patient and how exactly does the patient get the medicine and how is it that we can sell the medicine to the patient and it's legal, but if someone sells it to the healthy person, it's illegal. It makes for all sorts of crazy lawmaking, and this is just another example of that.
A man in Aurora, Colorado, was told his T-shirt that had a depiction of a marijuana leaf was offensive to some customers and was asked to leave a mall last weekend. 28-year-old Jake Gailey was wearing a shirt that had a play on the Shepherd Fairey artwork of Barack Obama's Hope poster with the message, "Yes, we cannabis," when he was stopped by a plainclothes security officer and told to wait a few minutes. He was then approached by other mall security officers and three police officers. He was told by mall security to take off his shirt and turn it inside out or leave the mall. He refused, reminding them that medical marijuana was legal in the state and that he also had a medical marijuana card. He argued that he could buy a hat at the novelty store Spencer's in that very mall and asked if he could buy that and wear it in the mall. They responded no. Gailey contends he then became loud because he wanted people around him to see that he was being stopped and harassed. But, of course, police and mall security say that he was yelling obscenities while a crowd gathered. He was detained and charged with disturbing the peace, a charge that was later dropped in exchange for a one-year ban from the mall. Aurora police spokesman told the Denver Post that the contents of the T-shirts were irrelevant to them and that the main focus was on the disturbance. Gailey's attorney, Rob Corey, considers the case an affront to the First Amendment. He is demanding an apology and that the ban be lifted. Now, in other novelty T-shirt news, a teenager in Maine was stopped for speeding. But when the police saw that the 16-year-old girl was wearing a T-shirt with a picture of a marijuana leaf and had a plastic marijuana leaf-shaped keychain, her car was searched, and she and her passenger were both charged with possession of rolling papers, a pipe, and a usable amount of marijuana. I believe that means small. So be careful what you wear in public. Your favorite T-shirt might have some unintended consequences.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, this mall thing in Aurora, Colorado, last night on our local CW station, they do reruns of South Park, and they had the one with the mall cops. Yeah, nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here.
What are you doing?
Move along. So that just cracked me up right immediately there, that the mall cops would have nothing better to do than to stop someone with a marijuana leaf T-shirt on. But it goes to... This concept that I've brought up many times on the show is just how crazy marijuana prohibition is, that we censor the picture of a leaf. It's one of the reasons I wear this hat all the time when I go out in public with this marijuana leaf on it, because I love the reactions that I get from people that could be so offended by the picture of a leaf, of a piece of nature. Now, I can see where people get upset. Maybe if you're advertising on your T-shirt a bong or a line of cocaine or a heroin syringe, right? Where you're actually showing the implements. But we're talking about nature, a picture of a leaf, right? If we showed a picture of a coca leaf, no one would freak out. If we showed a picture of an opium poppy, no one would freak out. You show a picture of a marijuana leaf, people freak out. It's just ridiculous.
It's not even the bud.
Yeah, it's not even the bud. It's the leaf, right? Yeah. It could be hemp, for all we know. It could be a hemp leaf, right? So that's ridiculous. Now, as far as it being a First Amendment thing, there's a problem in this scenario, and it's because we're talking about a mall, which is a private business, and you're walking inside of it, and you're kind of subject to their rules. So, if they want you to leave, I mean, you're kind of stuck, you have to leave. However, the way it's being handled by this guy, by bringing out, this is why they're asking me to leave, that they're discriminating on me based on me showing a picture of nature, that's the way to handle it. I've always said that the answer to any free speech problem is more free speech. And if this guy, you know, was drawing a crowd and bringing attention to this mall and these mall cops with their crazy, you know, kick out the people in the pot T-shirts, then that's the way to handle this. And that he's got Rob Corey in his corner, watch out, Aurora Mall. All right, and the other story, the main pot leaf thing with the keychain and the T-shirt thing and being a teenager and, Yeah, you got to be discreet, folks, sometimes, especially, you know your audience, know where you live, know what you can get away with. I don't wear this hat all the time when I'm running around in Nampa, Idaho, I'll tell you that much. Here in Portland, Oregon, it's a little bit different. So be careful out there with what you're displaying. I understand everyone's that we bring up the point about being an open cannabis consumer, being out and everything, but there's a place and a time sometimes to be out, and when you're pulled over by the cop, that might not be the place and time you want to be, you know, out and proud.
There also might be an age.
Yeah, there also
16 might not be a good idea to be sporting that kind of stuff.
Very good point, Ganja John. 16 might not be the best way to make that good first impression on the officer who's already looking for a reason to mess with young people. So, you know, be out to your friends, be out to your family, your coworkers if you can. But, you know, in public, sometimes it's discretion is the better part of valor. Oh, speaking of valor, it's break time here at Rolla J Studios. We're going to turn on the Matrix Cam and enjoy a little bit of Oregon's finest. We're right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do it.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our pod-safe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Produced over a mile above sea level.
How much higher can you get, John Doe?
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. With 9 studio albums, numerous videos and movies made, and even more compilation albums, the Cottonmouth Kings have done it all by themselves. The list of acts on the self-created label of Subnoise Records keeps getting more and more impressive as the years roll on. It's also become tradition for the Kings to release an album every year on 420. This year was no different with the release of Long Live the Kings, which includes great raps from newly added artist Dirtball to the group. I'm not a massive fan of the Cottonmouth Kings. I like some of their songs, but some of their other songs are just a little bit more on that, shall we say, ICP-ish level. I don't want to piss anybody off while saying that. Much respect to all those groups. Anybody that gets a following like these groups have deserves the respect. But like I say, some of my favorite tunes have been Cottonmouth Kings tunes. On the Cottonmouth Kings 2008 CD is a song titled Can Anybody Hear Me? The song talks about how we see marijuana as peaceful and how the other side just wants to ruin us over it. Sometimes I catch myself thinking not only can anybody hear me, but can anybody hear us? There are so many of us in numbers now. Everywhere it seems like a death scream is being sent out across the world. But no fear, as that is not the case, and we are just starting to be heard loud and clear. As the song says, take my hand and try to understand what you're really afraid of is just a little plant. Can anybody hear me? From the Cottonmouth Kings on Normal Show Live, I am John Doe. Till we meet again, see ya.
Come, come, come.
Can anybody
come,
hear
come.
Me?
Let's walk and talk so we can hear each other's side. You huff and puff and stuff and seem to think that you're all right. We trying to see eye to eye, but you, there is no compromise. You staring at the moon, we looking up at the sunrise. So come and take my hand and try to understand. Man, what you really afraid of is just a little plant that comes from underwater. Hydroponics in those innocent tubs. Well, buckets, buckets, sticky bagel nuggets. We love it. You can suck it if you're out there hating on me in public. Cause I'm above it, man. I'm like the bird of the breeze, smoking my trees. Me and weed as high as can be.
Can anybody hear me?
Does anybody feel what I'm saying? And is there anybody out there who thinks freedom's for saying?
Can anybody hear me?
Can
just to be alive. On the front line, I saw some friends and family die. So many times, I think how life could have been if I could afford to be an upright citizen. I never been that tight to believe the hype. I've been grimy, hardcore, almost all my life. I like pushing limits, walking on the edge. I love the feeling when the goddess seeps into my head. So in my dying days, I don't want no regrets. I want to go out blazing.
Can anybody hear me?
Say it's wrong to feel so right when I rip my bong and hit my pipe. You wanna lock me up and lose the keys? I wanna live in peace and smoke my weed.
Can anybody hear me?
You say it's wrong to feel so right when I rip my bong and hit my pipe. You wanna lock me up and lose the keys? I wanna live in peace and smoke my weed.
Another day, another session, time to keep it going, showing. That's how we live in love and burn up, choke up, crack and flowing. So let me tell you that it feels so good when I lock my chronic. I'm always on the smoking, comes the time to flown it. Flown out when I got it, never don't gotta, gotta lose you, wala, wala, wala. So I always got the gotcha, gotcha. You know the fleeing demons, nothing but love. It never do us no harm and make the people feel strong. And if you hear me, then you hear me, come on and sing along. And if you hear me, then you hear me, come on and sing along. Up under the trees with my family in the old.
Can anybody hear me?
You say it's wrong, but it feels so right when I rip my bong and hit my pipe. You wanna lock me up and lose the keys? I wanna live in peace and smoke my weed.
Can anybody hear me?
You say it's wrong, but it feels so right when I rip my bong and hit my pipe. You wanna lock me up and lose the keys? I wanna live in peace and smoke my weed.
Can anybody hear us?
Here we are, Normal Show Live with the Cottonmouth Kings. Thanks to JohnDoeRadio.com for providing our Groovin' Thursday tune.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check our Normal Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Today, Thursday, June 3rd, we've got Philadelphia Normal, Philly Normal, having their open meeting at the A Space on Baltimore Avenue. They meet the first and third Thursdays of each month at 7:30 p.m. Check out phillynormal.org. There's also a monthly online meeting for Ohio Normal via Pal Talk. Check out northohionormal.net for more information. Friday, June 4th, Normal at Wakarusa. This is happening in Ozark, Missouri. Joplin Normal will be there, among others. Check out their website, joplin-normal.org. On Saturday, June 5th, Miami Valley Normal. This is in the Dayton area. Dayton TV taping will be going on. They'll be appearing on the local cable access. So check out mvnormal.org for information on that. And Sunday, June 6th, Normal Louisiana is having their online chat meeting. You can find more information about that at normallouisiana.org. And regarding Normal Show Live, we do have some information about our upcoming schedule, which will be slightly interrupted as I've got two more gigs to travel to over the next two weekends. I'll be covering the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar June 10th through 12th, but I'll be out of town from the 9th through the 14th. The 9th is a fly day and the 14th is a fly day, so that Wednesday and the following Monday, the 9th and the 14th, there will be no live episode of Normal Show Live. However, on the 10th, 11th, and Saturday the 12th, we'll be featuring all sorts of live coverage of the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar, all sorts of fantastic guests for interviews, and if we can get the connection, live coverage from Hunter S. Thompson's place at the Owl Farm at Woody Creek. That'll be a lot of fun. Then the following weekend, the 19th and 20th of June, is the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, California. We'll be bringing you some live coverage from there as well. Ganja John will be joining us, as well as Cannabis Carry.
Woo!
Yay! And we'll be having a good time and bringing you all sorts of stuff from the first ever Cannabis Cup in the United States, sponsored by High Times. Danny Danko, Jorge Cervantes, so many people will be there, and Normal Show Live will be your passport to the greatest fun you can have in the month of June here at Normal and at all of these events. So for all the information on these events, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The Normal PAC, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
Weed.
That's Hoobie Valley, Hoobie Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
And not just that, the finest taxi driver you could have in the Los Angeles Basin, the beautiful Terry Joyce, joins us here this Thursday. How are you, Terry?
I am doing good. I'm doing really, really good. I'm actually in Hollywood today. I've been doing some I'm promoting for the doctor at the Brookwood Clinic. We're opening up an urgent care facility.
Oh, okay.
It's the first of a kind that a medical marijuana doctor would also be opening an urgent care facility, specialized for people who have no insurance, and there's a menu of services for $800
to $1,000
left. Oh, wow. And Justin Scruggs, hopefully no... Yeah, and Justin Scruggs, hopefully nobody has a heart attack, because I won't know what to say.
So this is really cool. This is the Berkeley Clinic in Hollywood, California, and they're setting up urgent care for people, medical marijuana patients who might not otherwise have a place to go. That's a wonderful thing.
I know. It's nice to be a part of that. It's going to help facilitate healthcare for people. So I'm enjoying it. I'm in Hollyweird, taking it not right on the strip here, right on where the Walk of Fame is.
Yeah.
We're
getting some kind of weird echo with your system here, Terry. Let's see if we can get your guest on here, and maybe we'll see how that connection works.
How do I sound now?
You're sounding okay. Just go ahead.
Okay. I might have been in a weird zone as well. A little electricity going on through here with all the wiring and businesses and stuff. So our guest today is, I met him at the Comedy Store at Howard Dover's Comedy Extravaganza. We shared a joint back behind the green room and bonded. And I'm excited to bring him on today, as I'm excited to bring all of my guests. But he has a letter writing team going for those who are incarcerated, and also where people can bring books to people who are incarcerated, and also has his own story himself of being arrested and doing time and everything that's happened here in the state of California. So I want to introduce Thomas Kikuchi.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, and we're going to try to see if we can get this fixed out. Do you guys have us on the air or on an open speaker somewhere out there?
I don't.
Hello.
Okay. Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you? Hello, everybody.
Great. Just want to let everyone know, this is Thomas Kikuchi from the Landa Prison Outreach Project, and I may have met you at one of these events. I know I met someone from Landa, and I'm so glad to have you on the show. Can you tell our listeners what is the Landa Prison Outreach Project?
Hello. The Landa Prison Outreach Project is a brainchild of an activist here in L.A. Her name is Sarah Armstrong, and she started it when Stephanie Landa and myself were incarcerated by the federal government for medical marijuana. And we've expanded it. She used us as a pilot project, I guess, where we were in federal prison and she was seeking ways to help us out. Well, when you're incarcerated, you know, you're isolated from the community, you have very few resources, and so she was outraged about this, and she started getting people to write to us and to send us books and publicize our plight, that we were arrested unjustly for medical marijuana. And after we got out, Stephanie got out January of this year, and I was released in July of last year. And so we took up the effort for her, and we've been getting donated spaces from, THC Expo and via HempCon and various other organizations donate free booth space for us so that we can push our message to everybody to write these prisoners, people like Eddie Lepp, for instance. You know, he's real big on this. He really appreciates our letter-writing campaign, and he writes back to us. And
okay.
He's trying to put together a prison library program for where he's at. He's in Dublin right now, but he's going to be assigned to another prison. Mm-hmm. But each place he goes to, he tries to put together a project, you know, whether it be an educational thing or a book project thing or a letter writing campaign for other prisoners. And we've been doing this for, since January on a full-time basis.
All right. So basically, Land of Prison Outreach Project is coordinating campaigns to make sure that we stay in contact with these prisoners of the drug war, that they can stay in touch with their families through letter writing and other campaigns. So, Thomas, is that pretty close to, you know, a good summary?
Yeah, it is pretty close. We also try to publicize, you know, like being on this program right now, people don't understand that people are actually going to prison for medical marijuana right now. There's all these laws in place in California, yet people are still being prosecuted by the federal government, of course.
Right.
But also the state government still goes after medical marijuana. People are clearly compliant, yet when you go to trial, most of these people plead out because it's such a hassle to go through the whole process. They can't afford it. They don't have the time. They just want to get on with their lives. But the people who do fight it out, a good percentage of them are getting convicted, even though it's clearly proven that they're compliant with the law here. And it's just got to stop, you know. But we're trying to support them. It's really tragic.
Well, let's get some more support for them. Can we get from you a website address or a way people can contact Landa to help support your mission?
Oh, yes. We have a website. It's freshly up. It's LPOP.com, Landa Prison Outreach Program. And you'll be able to find out what our mission is. We have a mission statement, and we have links. We explain what we do. And we have links to other sites that can help you find out exactly who's in prison and their address, and so that you can write to them that way if you don't see us at one of these expos.
Yeah. You know, this is something I definitely recommend everyone to do is to, you know, one of the things that we have in this movement for marijuana legalization or even for medical marijuana are so many people who don't actually get personally touched by the law. That, you know, we say that there's 870,000 marijuana arrests every year, but there's 22.5 million people using marijuana. So really about 1 in 30 of them are directly being affected. You need to know how this is really affecting real people more than it being statistics or some numbers in a chart. You got to talk to the real people that have been suffering because of this ridiculous prohibition, this cruel prohibition. And I applaud Land of Prison Outreach for doing this at LPOP.com. Thomas Kikuchi, before we wrap up, I'm just wondering if there's any more you'd like to tell our audience before we go on to our next segment?
Yes. I am also interested in complete legalization, too. In California, we're having a November initiative election for, I don't think the proposition has a name or a number yet, but it's for limited legalization of marijuana, period. It's not going to be just medical. It's just legalized somewhat restrictively. A lot of people here don't seem to like it, even though they're on board for medical marijuana. But, you know, it's going to be a step in the right direction. However flawed it may be, we can't put up with total prohibition. It's just that we have to drive a wedge into that. This small wedge will lead to better things. And I just urge everybody to please go out and vote in November. Vote yes, please.
Yes, it's a step in the right direction, and not taking any steps is to be satisfied with the situation the way it is now, and nobody can be satisfied with that.
Correct.
Well,
right. I mean, if you vote no, you're voting yes on prohibition. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Well, Thomas Kikuchi from the Land of Prison Outreach Program, thank you so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live. And Terry Joyce out there in Hollyweed, thank you so much. Are you still doing American Hemptress? Got another show coming up?
Yes, we are still doing American Hemptress, although I am waiting to find out our date. Actually, it's so funny. Ironically, January was calling me while we were doing the podcast. So we are going to be doing a summer show every month out in front of the Berkeley Clinic. And when we get our date, I'll let everybody know. It's going to be outdoors, music, comedy, maybe some poetry. Who knows what's going to happen?
All right. Sounds great.
We're excited about that.
Thank you so much, Terry Joyce, and we'll see you in 2 weeks in our Southern California scene.
All right.
Coming up on our next segment, we're talking with Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director. He's going to the Maine Medical Marijuana Conference this Saturday. We'll get the scoop on what he'll be delivering. This is Normal Show Live.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
For almost 40 years, Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than almost anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Armentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Armentano.
Welcome back, everyone. It is 45 after the hour, and we go out to the Bay Area of California to visit with Normal's deputy director, Paul Armentano. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Russ.
We understand that you are heading out to Maine, about as far away as you can get from where you're at now and still be in the United States. What's happening in Maine, and how are you participating?
You are correct. It is certainly a long flight to get to Portland, Maine from Oakland, California. But it's definitely something I'm willing to do. This Saturday is going to be the first ever Maine Medical Cannabis Conference. And organizers of the conference are bringing in a great group of speakers. Montel Williams is going to be there talking about his own personal use of marijuana to treat multiple sclerosis. Dr. Frank Lucido, who's on Normal's advisory board, is going to be there. Dr. Amanda Ryman, who's with the Berkeley Patients Group now and has done some terrific research looking at the substitution effect where patients start using marijuana and then they start cutting down on their use of prescription medications and also cutting down on their use of alcohol. So there's going to be a terrific lineup, and we're all there because, as many of your listeners may recall, just a couple months ago, the Maine legislature enacted a new law that establishes medical marijuana dispensaries in the state of Maine and also sets up a patient registry. So patients that have been using marijuana under Maine law for the last 10 years now have this expanded, more regulated system that they'll be able to be a part of. They'll still be able to grow their own marijuana, but they'll also be able to get marijuana from state-licensed dispensaries. And this conference is really a way to educate Maine physicians, Maine public health officials, members of government, and even members of law enforcement as to what these new changes are, how this new law is going to impact patients, how it's going to impact law enforcement and public health officials, and, of course, to educate the patients and the doctors that are going to be most affected by this change in the law.
You know, Maine enacted their medical marijuana law in 1999 by initiative. This was a 61% vote for that. So it's got a lot of support amongst the people in Maine. And yet we've heard complaints about the system in Maine being kind of vague and not a lot of people really being protected by it. These changes that Maine has made, specifically with the registry, should definitely protect patients a little more from arrest and harassment, wouldn't you think?
Well, that's certainly the idea behind the changes. And keep in mind, these were changes that were initially also voted on by the voters. In 1999, there was a separate initiative on the ballot, and this was the second time said that they support the medical use of marijuana. In this case, the changes they voted on were to establish the statewide registry so that could be issued an identification card so that they would no longer face harassment from law enforcement. And, of course, the other part of that initiative effort was to set up this state-sanctioned distribution system. So now in every county in Maine, there will be at least one not-for-profit dispensary that will produce and grow that will produce and distribute marijuana to these authorized patients.
There's probably a great need for information there, too, because I imagine once that is opened up, there'll be all sorts of people applying and wanting to be part of that nonprofit system. So I'm wondering, is that some of the stuff that will be covered there in this Maine Medical Marijuana Conference, the business angles?
I don't think there's going to be as much discussion regarding the sort of cannabis model. I think the bulk of the speakers that are being brought in and the bulk of the audience that will be attending are really going to be those people who either need to use marijuana to treat their own physical conditions, or it's going to be those on the front lines of the laws, like the physicians who are going to be recommending marijuana. This is really a way to educate those populations, as well as, as I said, there are going to be some state politicians there, and there are going to be some members of law enforcement there, because obviously they are going to have to play a role in the proper implementation of this law, particularly the parts that pertain to setting up this regulatory system to govern these dispensaries. And that's an ongoing process that the Maine Department of Health is overseeing.
We're here with Paul Armentano, Normal's Deputy Director, talking about the Maine Medical Marijuana Conference he's attending on Saturday, and you'll be one of the presenters. Can you tell us what you're presenting? Give us a little snapshot.
Sure. I actually have been asked to speak twice on the program, and I'm quite flattered by that invitation, given the lineup of speakers that they're bringing in and given that this is simply a one-day program. I'll be speaking first in the morning on a special session that is targeted towards physicians, and I'm going to be giving a lecture called Advanced Cannabis Science, Moving Beyond Symptom Management. And what I'm going to be talking about is this idea that while we understand that marijuana can treat a variety of symptoms, where I personally feel the true value of marijuana as a medicine lies is in its ability to move beyond symptom management and in some cases actually treat disease itself. And we see evidence of that in different families of diseases. We see this in the autoimmune disorders like multiple sclerosis and diabetes. We see this in some of the neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's or Lou Gehrig's disease. We see this in cancer. We see this in MRSA, multi-drug resistant infections like staph. And we see this in a limited degree to in some of the diseases that are associated with brain damage, like stroke and traumatic brain injury, conditions where the blood and oxygen supply has been cut off to the brain and you need to administer an agent rapidly to that person to try and protect the brain from irreversible cell death. So that is what I'm going to be speaking to physicians about. And then I'm speaking again at the end of the conference. I'm actually closing the conference with a presentation that is sort of looking ahead to the future of medical marijuana, not just in Maine, but nationally, and also addressing the critics of medical marijuana. I know, fortunately, there's fewer and fewer of those out there, but it's addressing five or six of the standard criticisms that you still hear about medical marijuana. Things like, it's not FDA approved, or why do we need medical marijuana when there's already Marinol available, or the complaint that no medicine is smoked. It's really giving people scientific rebuttals to some of these common criticisms so we can really move forward and end this debate once and for all.
Now, do you have any information on how people can get tickets to this online, where it will be at, if people in the Maine area up there in Portland, the East Coast Portland, would want to go?
Sure, there is a website available. It's at www.mainemedicalcannabisconference.com. And the conference is being held at the University of Southern Maine, and that is in downtown Portland, Maine. And as I said, this is a one-day symposium. It's taking place this Saturday, and it's being sponsored by the Drug Policy Alliance and also the Berkeley Patients Group out of Berkeley, California.
Oh, fantastic. And I know you'll do a great job there. I wish I could be there to see it and transmit a little bit to our listeners on the live stream. We'll find a way. We'll hook you up with a camera someday, Paul. We'll get you all wired up into the Borg.
Well, I'm still learning how to design PowerPoint, so it may be a little while before we get to that day. But I will make a point after I return to get my presentations to you, and hopefully you can put those up on the Stash blog so folks that don't live in Portland can get a chance to at least see some of the information that's presented at this conference.
That's a great idea. We'll have that stuff online at stash.normal.org. Stay tuned for when we get it posted. And before we let you go, Paul, I did want to get your commentary on something that we had posted at normal.org, something I called Dueling Schizophrenia Studies. And it was your commentary regarding two studies that had come out, one that had they both had to do with schizophrenia. One was positive with regard to how marijuana and schizophrenia interact. One was negative. And, of course, Reuters picked up on the negative. Can you just give us a little bit of that and why you see this so much happening in the media, this focus on the negative?
Well, you know, the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. So I think that is, you know, the short answer as to why the media focuses on the negative or the alarmist studies as they pertain to marijuana. I think it's just a typical theme that the mainstream media follows, whether it's this issue or other issues. The two studies you're referring to, actually, they both pretty much found the same thing. Both studies were looking to see if there was an association between use of marijuana and age of onset of the first psychotic episode of schizophrenia. The working theory being that if people are heavy users of marijuana at a young age, they're more likely to have their first psychotic break at a younger age, mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody that used or that didn't use marijuana. Both studies actually did find that individuals who had a heavy history of marijuana use when they were young, when they were teenagers, were on average more likely to have their first psychotic break at a younger age. But where the two studies diverged was one study said, well, when we took into account other variables like socioeconomic status, like gender, and other issues, they found that marijuana didn't seem to have any causal effect, and that effect, the association was just kind of a coincidence, and these other variables were most likely playing a role. The other study said, no, it's we think that marijuana is having a causal effect, and they didn't do as good of a job looking at other variables. So basically, both studies found the same determination, but one study sort of cast the alarm or cast the blame on marijuana, whereas the other study didn't, and you can guess which study got reported in the mainstream media.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can check out all of Paul's writing on that issue. More details on those studies at normal.org. Also at blog.normal.org is where all the archives for those things are. Paul's the deputy director of Normal and the Normal Foundation, and thanks for joining us so much on the show today, Paul. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Russ. I look forward to seeing you in Aspen.
Oh, yeah. Aspen Legal Seminar coming up the next weekend, June 10th through 12th. We'll see Paul up there. I'm sure he'll stop by our Normal Show live broadcast. Cannabis Carrie will also be up there in Aspen with us, so you'll get Carrie on cam. Ganja John will be down here.
Yeah, I'm holding down the fort.
That's
so
right.
So where are you headed?
Aspen.
California. Beautiful.
We love our Dumb and Dumber clips here at Normal Show Live. We're just rounding out the show. Remember, you can catch replays if you missed any part of the show. The replays come up at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific. That would be 6, 8, 10, and midnight Eastern Time for our late night fans. And we encourage everyone to join us in the Normal Show Live chat. You can just sign up on stickem.com, create your username. Join us for family-friendly chat. Well, it's not family friendly, but well, it could
stoner
be
stoner friendly.
Stoner friendly, chat. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We just ask that you be nice and treat everyone with respect. That's all.
Yeah. And don't mess with me.
And don't mess with Ganja John. Yeah. For Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie and everyone at the Normal Foundation, I'm Radical Russ for Normal Show Live. Check us out at stash.normal.org. I'll be busy uploading the shows from the past 3 or 4 days. The FTP server is fixed. And for everyone, we'll see you later. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it.